to step out of the busyness, the flow of daily life, and to step into this moment right here. And one of the most supportive and direct pathways into the moment is to allow your awareness to melt into the body. The mind is the time traveler visiting the past and the future, and the body only ever lives in the present moment. So letting yourself rest your attention on the body. Feeling the touch points between the body and the chair, or the body and the floor. Noticing your hands wherever they rest. Perhaps inviting some micro adjustments to your posture that invite a greater measure of alertness, perhaps through lengthening the spine, and a greater measure of ease, perhaps through softening the jaw, the shoulders, the belly. We begin our practice often by calling in alertness and ease, and as we practice, these two qualities often begin to meld. A practice that's easeful has an inherent quality of alertness, wakefulness, presence in it. And a practice that's aware, alert, is deeply nourishing to both body and mind. So as you rest your awareness on the body, you can then rest the mind on the body, inviting the thinking muscle to relax in much the same way we invite shoulders to relax, hands to uncurl. If the mind is tightly grabbing hold of a thought, maybe a lingering worry or something on the to-do list, can you unclench the mind in the same way that you might unclench your fist? And maybe that thought will still be there, but maybe you won't be as tightly tangled up with it. And as you settle into the body, gathering your awareness to whatever anchor makes sense for you in this period of practice. It might be the breath, which we often come home to as a resting place. It might be the soles of the feet or the hands on your lap. And I'll be using the language of the breath, but if you're using another anchor, just silently substitute that for my guidance. And as you come home to the breath, letting yourself meet the breath fully. Feeling the inhalation from beginning all the way to that moment where the lungs reach their capacity. Maybe there's a slight pause with the experience of fullness and a turning over and a letting go with the exhalation. And it's not about controlling the breath, but really appreciating the breath in all its miraculousness. This breath that enters and fills and nourishes us. gifts us just what we need. The sustenance of oxygen and a pathway for purifying and cleansing the body. So letting the breath unfold naturally. And see if you can meet the breath with a sense of wonder and appreciation. when your mind is pulled away somewhere else, to a sound or a thought or a feeling. Rather than judging the wandering mind, might there be a moment of appreciation that you have a mind that can think, or that you have a heart that can feel, or that you have ears that can hear? Maybe an appreciation, a gratitude for these capacities. And a gratitude for the capacity to direct and redirect your attention as you invite your awareness back to the breath, back to your anchor. Giving your attention, the gift of your awareness, fully to this next breath, right here. Being generous with your attention. Where's the attention right now? If awareness has grown dull or distracted, inviting in that quality of alertness. And also allowing a quality of ease so that you rest back into this moment, receiving the generosity of this next breath. This gift of nourishment, oxygen, life, this gift that's just freely available. Perhaps taking in this offering with a sense of appreciation or gratitude. Maybe even feeling a sense of sufficiency or satisfaction. This breath right here is enough. And as we come to the closing of this period of practice, perhaps reflecting for a few moments on how coming from this place of being nourished, of appreciation, of gratitude, how might this allow you to move out into the world and be generous? How might you be able to share the gift of your time or attention or perhaps your resources in a way that might make someone's life or the world better today? Perhaps holding an intention or a wish that all beings may in some way know the gift of nourishment. That all beings may know the gift of generosity. That all beings may know ease and safety. That all beings may be free from suffering. May it be so. So I wanted to continue our exploration of this theme of internal and external practice and the precepts, these guidelines for wise, compassionate behavior as a roadmap, as a really a practice handbook, you know, a guideline for us to explore meeting the world with kindness. And so last week we looked at the first precept, which is this precept of non-harming, the precept that evokes a quality of compassion, a wish for beings to be free from suffering and a movement towards action to potentially alleviate suffering where we're able to. And the second precept is often, and the precepts are often talked about in two ways. One is what we're refraining from, and one is what we might be cultivating. And the second precept is often framed in restraint, in terms of restraint, as not stealing. And in terms of what we might cultivate, it's often talked about in terms of appreciation, gratitude, and generosity. Three of those flavors I was inviting in some way into your guided practice to see that the precepts can be internally and externally explored. And I wanted to share, last week I was reading from Thich Nhat Hanh's framing of the precepts, which I think is one of the most beautiful modern framings of the precepts. And I wanted you to read you just his few sentences about the second precept, which he labels generosity. Aware of the suffering caused by exploitation, social injustice, stealing, and oppression, I undertake to cultivate loving kindness and learn ways to work for the well-being of people, animals, plants, and minerals. I undertake to practice generosity by sharing my time, energy, and material resources with those who are in real need. I am determined not to steal and not to possess anything that should belong to others. I will respect the property of others, but I will prevent others from profiting from human suffering or the suffering of other species on earth. This is really a beautiful, rich framing of what this second precept could be. And it's one of the things I love about Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings about the precepts is he really invites us to hold them broadly and deeply. Like these could each be a lifelong practice. They really are. And so I just want to name a few reflections before we have a chance to share. The flavor in this precept of generosity is loving kindness. Many of you are familiar with loving kindness. It's really the intention or the wish for all beings to know happiness, joy, ease. So we're not just responding to suffering, we're actually wanting to support, enhance, nourish the well-being of all living beings. I love that he broadens it. We're not just talking about humans, because again, we recognize our interdependence. Humans, animals, plants, the very planet we live on, the health and well-being of the entire ecosystem is intertwined. And again, generosity is not just a feeling, it's not just an idea. It's really a call to action. How do we express generosity? How might we live this second precept in an embodied way? And many times in our Western culture, we equate generosity with financial resources. And that's a very narrow view. Generosity, you know, actually, the people who are the wealthiest in the world, we could just read the news and see that this is true. Those with the most financial wealth usually don't generate the most well-being in others. You know, it's often our time and energy that is the gift that fosters well-being in others. You know, a smile, our time, a listening ear, you know, and so it's really a rich exploration to consider, you know, where can we show up? Where and how can we show up in the world in a way that's meaningful, that might be transformative? Thich Nhat Hanh says it this way. He says, life is for more than using time to make money. Time is for being alive, for sharing joy and happiness with others. Like, what if we used the currency of time in that way? Yeah. And many of us do, but many of us get lost. You know, we get lost in you know, equating time with money. One of the other things that's really rich about this precept and all the precepts is when we pick up one, it's a little bit like picking up a strand of pearls. We actually end up picking them all up, and we see how these wise, skillful, compassionate actions are intertwined. So last week we were talking about not harming, or the classic way of teaching it is not killing. So killing is a form of stealing. It's stealing that precious, that most precious gift of life. So right there is a connection. But we also see how harm is woven into the second precept, especially if we look at that first sentence, that framing that Thich Nhat Hanh identifies or names the forms of stealing in the manifestation of exploitation, social injustice, and oppression. These are actually forms of slowly killing the human spirit, killing opportunity, and sometimes literally killing people's lives. So we can see that when we start to explore these, if they speak to you, these are very deep practices that are interrelated, where we really are invited to look at our interconnectedness as human beings, as living ecosystems, and also the interconnectedness of the ways that our mind, the habits of mind, and the habits of behavior really interconnect and inform one another. And an antidote to these forms of stealing, exploitation, social injustice, oppression, is the gift of generosity. And again, that might be the generosity of sharing material resources. There's a lot of inequity in our country, but it might also be the generosity of really paying attention, leaning in, looking. I know a number of weeks ago after George Floyd's murder, one of you, you know, shared that you really wanted to bear witness. That is a tremendous generosity to open your own heart to bearing witness to what's happening in the world to people who are being harmed, to listen, to look, to not turn away, and then to consider, how can I act? You know, and the action might be staying engaged, the action might be donating, the action might be educating yourself about your own places of privilege. It might be speaking up when you hear somebody say something that seems uninformed or ignorant or harmful. So this is a really deep, deep practice. And I'll just close with one more quote from Thich Nhat Hanh about this, and then we'll have a chance to share. He says, the second precept is a deep practice. We speak of time, energy, and material resources. But time is for being with others, being with a dying person or with someone who is suffering. Being really present for even 5 minutes can be a very important gift. Time is not just to make money. It is to produce the gift of Dharma, Dharma being with the truth of what is, being really present, and the gift of non-fear. I like that. You know, how can even the gift of our presence, our willingness to not be afraid, be a gift of generosity? So I'd love to give us some time to be in our small groups, to share with one another. It's always optional to, join a group, but I know many of you are really building connections, and it's a way of giving voice to your practice. And if you do join a group, you know, I invite you, if you can, turn on your camera or at least bring your voice into the room so there's a sense of community and connection and safety. And then we'll come back and I have we'll have a few moments of sharing, and I have a final poem for us. So, I will create the rooms, and you're welcome to join. Hi, Julie. Welcome back. I hope you had some rich discussion, and I'm curious if there's anything that would like to be spoken or shared before we close for today. Kathy, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And these are really, as we've talked in previous weeks, aspirational, and they are a practice. Just like we come back to the breath, we come back to the precept again and again and again to know it more deeply. Thank you. Anything else? So, we'll let Mary Oliver have the final word today. This is a poem entitled, What I Have Learned So Far. Meditation is old and honorable, so why should I not sit every morning of my life on the hillside, looking into the shining world? Because properly attended to, delight as well as havoc is suggestion. Can one be passionate about the just, the ideal, the sublime, and the holy, and yet commit to no labor in its cause? I don't think so. All summations have a beginning, all effect has a story, all kindness begins with the sown seed. Thought buds towards radiance. The gospel of light is the crossroads of indolence or action. Be ignited or be gone. The gospel of light is the crossroads of indolence or action. Be ignited or be gone. So this choice point as we practice internally and externally, to find our own way of contributing labor, a labor of love. The second precept is about loving kindness, a labor of love, whether it's our time, our energy, our attention, our resources, to be ignited. To be engaged. So, thank you so much for your presence and your participation and your practice. I'm really grateful to be engaged in this exploration with all of you as the weeks unfold. So, take such good care, and I'll see you next Wednesday, I hope. Yeah. Bye. Okay.